Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
All right, shalom, 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 grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah, and grace and peace to the brothers and sisters on the Blog Talk Show tonight. Grace and peace,
shalom.
Simon, grace and peace. Hey, shalom, shalom, sis, shalom, grace and peace to you. Thank you for tuning in to the Wednesday Bible Blog Talk Show, to the Nation of Peace. The teacher tonight is Brother Lacombe Swanson, a.k.a. Lil Israel, coming with some super fire heat precept that I can't wait to tune into. That is simply called No Free Will for the Righteous. One more time. No Free Will for the Righteous. And the scripture that he brought forth, that's going to be brought forth for the precept, is from the book of Psalms, chapter 37, verse 23. And it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. Amen, amen, amen. Can't wait to get into the precept. I turn things over to Brother Nakomi, a.k.a. Lil Israel. Grace and peace, my brother. Peace be unto you.
Peace and shalom. Brother Isaiah, and peace and shalom to everyone at the sound of my voice. Brother Nakomi, Lil Israel, the Nation of Peace, Israelites. Hello?
Hello.
What's up, bro?
You're a little choppy, bro, but I can hear you.
Choppy?
Okay, okay. You sound good.
Oh, okay. Nation of Peace Israelites from Minneapolis, Minnesota. We about to get started, people. I said all the brothers face the east and uncover their heads. All the sisters face the east and cover your heads. And we're going to get started, Brother Isaiah, being a reading of choice. We're going to get started.
Amen, amen, amen. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed. When I have respect unto all thy commandments, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Amen. Believers take a place from the book of Psalms, chapter 119, verses 1 through 8. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Brother Isaac, and we have Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 3.
Amen. The book of Matthew, chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight.
O Okay, in verse 2 it says, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means preparing ourselves for the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of God. In verse 3, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. That's for the people of God and the people in the work of God, that we're supposed to prepare a clear agenda, free path with the testimony of Jesus Christ and the word of God. So with that, people, we're going to get started with the lesson, which is no free will for the righteous. What do you mean, no free will for the righteous? Well, people, if you're really God's, if you're really truly God's, you have limited free will. He lets all the other people do exactly what they want to do. He doesn't care about what they do. So guess what? They have no limitations compared to the righteous. The righteous have limitations. The righteous can't do anything, can't do everything. But the unrighteous, God does not care about what they do, so they're allowed to do whatever they want. When we get involved with God in Christ, and we see talking about we've been made free and all these type of things, but the thing you got to understand, has he freed us? Has he done all these things so I can just do what I want to do, that you can do just what you want to do? I'm free to just be me. Let's see if that's the point. When he comes and rescues us or he frees you from situations, is it about you just being able to do what you want to do? So, Brother Isaiah, we're not going to waste a whole bunch of time in this precept tonight. We're going to get started. And let's kick this off in Exodus chapter 4 and 21.
Brother McCombie.
Exodus, yes.
Okay, but you're choppy. It looks like your voice sound weird, going in and out.
What about now?
Oh, okay, yep, that sounds good. We'll do a testing.
Huh?
Okay, yep, you sound good, bro. You sound good now.
Okay, Exodus. Chapter 4 and 21.
Yes, sir. The book of Exodus, chapter 4, verse 21. Exodus 4, 21, verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. And it came to pass
stop,
by the way.
Stop. So you see in verse 23, in saying, and I say unto thee, let my son go. So he's asking Pharaoh to let us go. This is what he's telling Moses to say to Pharaoh. And then he tells you the reason why he wants us to let us go. Said that he may serve me. So he's not freeing us. He's not asking Pharaoh to do this so I can be free and be me and do what I want to do. He said, I want you to free freedom. I want you to free them because I want them to serve me. So, people, all the freedom that we have, especially my people, that we went through all this slavery and all this stuff that here in America, and he done loosed the grip a little bit. People, guess what? He didn't loosen the grip so we can just go out here and be wicked and act crazy as we want to be. That ain't the reason he didn't loosen the grip. He didn't loosen the grip a little bit because we got a job to do. We got to teach the rest of the sons of Adam, and we got to turn our people back to obeying God. So he didn't loosen the grip. The civil rights and all of that didn't happen for a loose grip for us to be out here acting crazy. He loosened his grip for us to serve him.
So again, saying that now that you done found the truth and the truth that made you free and all of that, this is not it. All that didn't happen for you just to be out here and still be what you want to be and be follow the world and all that kind of craziness. No, this is not the reason he did this. He did not reveal and show you who you are and wake you back up, and now you know that you're a Hebrew Israelite, that I'm not an African American and all those type of things, and turns you to doing the law, statute, commandments. He did not do all these things for us to still be a part of the world, that you can do whatever you want. As a matter of fact, he made it crystal clear. I want you to free them so they can serve me. Now, let's go, Brother Isaiah, into Exodus chapter 19 and 5.
Amen. The book of Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him.
Stop. So God is talking to Moses, and then Moses came and called all the elders of the people and laid before their faces all the words which the Lord commanded him. So God, he bringing this message from God to the people. Let's see, and read on verse 8.
And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people, And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord.
Stop. And so look, God came to us through Moses with the word and with an agreement. And guess what? We agreed. Verse 8 said, and all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the word of the people unto the Lord. So the Lord came to us through Moses, and then we came back through Moses to God, and we made an agreement with God. No one else on the planet has ever made this agreement with God. And part of this agreement is when we started out is, in verse 5, it says, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure above all people, for all the earth is mine. And then he said, you'll be a kingdom of priests and holy nation. Okay, he's not coming to us to be whoever we want to be. But we agreed to this. So we made an agreement. We made a covenant. We made a vow to God. No other nation has done what we agreed to do. So, Brother Isaiah, let's go into Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and 4. Ecclesiastes 5 and 4.
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, verse 4. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for you have no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay.
Stop. So you hear that? He said, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he have no pleasure in fools. He that which has not. So we vowed a vow. We made a vow to God. And he said, you're going to pay that. But verse 5 said, better it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow to not pay. So it'd been better for you not even to vow nothing. But guess what, people? Our forefathers did it, and if you didn't get baptized, you didn't cross that line, okay? Your life is not yours anymore. You made a vow to obey him now and to be a part of him now. So that's why I'm saying this is no free will for the righteous. So like I'm saying, when you find out yourself and learn all these things, okay, you just don't jump into the water because it sounds like a great idea. You know, I just started going to this class and all this and all that, and a lot of people do it in church. I joined the church, and you know what, I'm going to get baptized. No, you're supposed to have true understanding of the word before you get in the water. You got a true understanding of God and Christ and what they want before you get in that water. I don't just throw people in the water. See, most people under me that got baptized was under me for years before they got to that point. Because you got to have true understanding of the word before you get into that water. You got to understand the vow that you're taking when you get baptized. This just ain't no thing. Well, I joined the church, or I done found out I'm an Israelite, and now I'm just going to get into the water. Even when you read it, people get the word comes before. You got to have true understanding before you get in the water. So you got to understand this is a vow you're taking, and this is a vow with God. And guess what? There ain't no way you can renege on anything you owe to God. So once you turn in, once he turns you on to doing this vow, and you said you're going to obey him, there ain't no turning back. You say you're going to serve him. Ain't no turning back after that. Because unlike all the bills you owe and people you owe, you can't run away from God. He getting his payment. So he said it would be better for you for not to vow nothing. It would have been better for you just to keep going your way. So that's what I'm saying. There's no free, you have no free will. Because you didn't put yourself under a vow. We did it as a people. And if you did it, if you don't want to deal with your ancestors, then you got to deal with what you can did now if you didn't get into that water and got baptized. You got it, you got your understanding, you can get baptized, you better understand you're in the same thing. You're here to serve him for the rest of your life. You might as well, your life is a piece of paper that got thrown in the trash can, and your life is supposed to be about this all day long, all day strong.
Amen.
But let's go into Numbers. Instead of going all those semantics, let's go into Numbers chapter 30 and 2. Numbers 30 and 2. Because we got to understand, people. This is what I'm saying, getting baptized, yeah, it sounds, oh, yeah, you got that. Yeah, it sounds like a real nice thing, a holy thing to do. But you got to understand, it's way more than that.
Amen.
So let's get to Numbers chapter 30 and verse 2.
Yes, sir. The book of Numbers 30 and 2. If a man vile a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he should not break his word. He should do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth.
See that? So we got to understand,
yes,
that. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. So, people, you got to be careful, because the next scripture we're going to see, he honor our words. He honor our words, like we're saying, we under a new covenant where we don't have to bring no animals, but we finna see. He using something else we can use that he's counting as the animal. So we ain't got to do that no more. But he said, when you vow a vow, you said you better do all that came out your mouth. So when you start talking, Lord, I ain't going to do this no more, and you're saying, and all these type of things, same thing, saying, you ain't free. And just like I'm saying, under your baptism, you said you became a servant of God. You became part of this work. This is your life. You better be ready to do this. You're not free to do what you want to do anymore. Like I tell people, hopefully God will let me do some of the things I want to do. If I do what he tells me what to do, maybe he might let me do some of the stuff I want to do. But that's up to him. But let's continue, because let's see what he honored. Let's see. Let's go into Hosea 14 and 1. Hosea 14 and 1.
The book of Hosea 14 and 1. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord, saying to him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips.
What? He said, so now we can render what? The what? The calves of our lips. See, now your body ain't no animals. He said, you so we render the calves of our lips. So he honoring your words just like it was a sacrifice. So that's why I'm saying when you vow a vow to him, guess what you just did? You know what I'm saying? It's just, he's saying he honoring your words.
Mm-hmm.
He honoring them words. He rendered the calves. He's saying he calling this, I'm saying this prophet said the calves of our lips. He honoring what you say. So this don't be, I'm saying just so those don't be willy nilly promising things to God and vowing things to God. Because he honoring your words. So just like our that's why he dealt with our forefathers. He honored their word. Just like now, we saying we want to be baptized and we want to be part of the work and we want to do this. Okay, you better understand what you're doing. You better understand what you're doing. You don't have, you're saying he's going to honor your words. And by your own words, you're saying you want to be a part of him. You saying you want to serve him. You want to try, I'm saying, you saying you want to be a part of his kingdom and all those type of things. Well, now you got to do things the way he wanted it to be done. If you didn't come to that point. But let's show you, I'm saying, but let's keep showing you more and more that you ain't free. Let's go into, I'm saying, because I see we've been a very hard leaning in the Old Testament. Let's, little people, let's get this and lean a little bit in the New Testament. Brother Isaiah, 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 19.
The book of 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?
Stop. What? And ye are what?
Not your own.
Oh, you ain't your own. Read on.
For ye are bought with a price. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
See that? He said you bought with a price. Say ye are not your own and you bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. Oh. It don't belong to you. See, people are keep trying to tell us, if you're on God's side, he telling you, you ain't even your own. You was bought with a price. Therefore, glorifying you, supposed to be trying to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is his anyway. So it makes you think you're free to do whatever you want to. You're not. If you're truly one of his, you're not free to do what you want. So, like I'm saying, all these things are self-check to me and to everyone. That we didn't turn to God that, hey, I got to be about this. Really be about this. I got to examine all aspects of my life and say, okay, almost everything I'm doing got to be leaning towards this work and this, and saying, and his plan. Not my plan, his plan. Hopefully, the things that I'm doing is leaning that way. that I might have an opportunity to do some of the things that I'm doing. But hopefully most of the things I'm trying to do is connected to that. I'm saying, I want to be a millionaire, but I don't want to be a millionaire for the same reason anymore. I want to be a millionaire so I can do the work better and be and do more things for this. It's not about, okay, I just want to be riding on 24s and wearing big old chains. And no, my whole reason for having money ain't even the same, though. Everything must be connected to this. I make up raps. My raps are spiritual songs. My raps are not, I'm not out here talking about I'm finna get some fat chains and all that kind of stuff. And no, and I got a bunch of women and I'm at the club. Ain't what my song's about. Because if that's because guess what? That ain't my life. So how I'm going to rap about something I ain't doing? My raps is about how he done blessed me. My raps is about the things I discovered in the Bible. My raps is about my life and things that I'm actually doing. I can't rap about having a bunch of women. I can't rap about being all up in the club every week, spending thousands of dollars on bottles of alcohol. That ain't my life. I would be made up a lie if I rap about that. Because that ain't what's really going on. And guess what? That ain't what I want to be going on. Because, you know what I'm saying, for the last 18 years of my life, that ain't what my life has been about. So, yeah, he said, well, you're supposed to deal with him. He said, and glorify God in your body and your spirit. That's what I'm saying, no matter what I do. Love Brother Isaiah with the art. Okay, just because you know God, you ain't no artist. You can't say, well, I can't be no artist. Yes, you can. Just try to connect it to the work. Try to connect it to someone. And he did that. Love is a lovely thing. It's a lovely thing. So people, we talented people. King David, one of the talented people ever been on the planet. He played instruments. He wrote the songs. So then he writing songs and stuff. And he could dance. And he was a warrior. Okay, all his talents. He said, okay, you can do that. So ain't nothing wrong with that. Don't let people in the class or in the church or in the temple discourage you from using your talent. Use your talent. You was given all this talent, but now you can use it in a better way. You can have everything connected to God. Guess what? Doing that, it might have a better way. It might have a better chance of working. Because how can it fail if you got God connected to it? But we're going to continue. We're going to continue. So you got to understand, man, you've been bought with a price. Your body's not your own. Like I said, it's saying this is no free will for the righteous soul. You don't belong to yourself. You got to know that. So let's see how Jesus thinks, how we going to see this other thing. Let's go into St. John's chapter 17. And 11. St. John's 17 and 11.
Amen. The book of St. John 17, verse 11. Verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are.
What? Stop. Oh. We used to belong to God, but guess what? God gave us to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
See, I thought all those, you think you're free. You've been passed around. You're an old 80 song. You're in the love, we in love under new management. God was our manager, then he gave us Christ. Now Christ our manager. We're under love. I'm in love under new management. Verse 11, brother. I mean, verse 12.
Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of prediction, that the scripture might be fulfilled.
See, you said everybody you gave me, you see, you said everybody you gave me, I ain't lost none of them except for the son of perdition, which is Judas. He said, because so the scripture be fulfilled. He had to be lost. But he said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I kept, and none of them is lost. So he's telling you, God owns some people, and he gave them to Christ. So how do you think, how we think we just out here free, doing what we want to? Now we finna get into it. Now we finna get into it even more, because now we finna get into something else. Let's go on to St. John's while we're in the book of St. John, chapter 15 and 16.
I'm going to scratch my ear book. You said it again?
St. John's chapter 15 and 16.
Okay, amen. St. John 15 and 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained
stop,
you that
stop,
you should
hold
go.
Down, slow down, hold down. Whoa.
Yes,
what
sir.
Did you say? You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. So you think you wanted to do this? See, he telling you that wasn't even your choice.
Right.
You think this is something you wanted to do? But he said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Read on.
Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you.
See, now look, he said, and ordained you. So he chose you, ordained you, that you should bring forth fruit and that your fruit shall remain. Said, just like Jesus said, he hadn't lost nothing. He said, you're supposed to be just like Jesus. He said, he sent Jesus, he kept us, and he didn't lose none of us. He said, you're supposed to go out there on fruit, and your fruit is supposed to remain too. And guess what? This wasn't, you said, it wasn't in you for you to do this. He said, I chose you for you to go do this. Said, I chose you to go out here and put you to work, just like we read at the beginning in Exodus chapter 4. He said, go get them so I can serve, they can serve me. Well, he's saying, I'm putting you to work. You're going out here and get some fruit, and your fruit going to remain. You're going to go out here and turn people to doing the right thing, and they're going to keep on doing that. That is what I'm saying. If you're an Israelite, especially if you're in the work, that is your goal. You're supposed to get people out here and get them to turn and do the right thing and keep on doing it. Turn, new law, that's commandments of God with testimony of Jesus Christ, and keep it going. And don't turn from that. That is your goal. All this other stuff you want to do, okay, that's just some other stuff. But your goal is to go out here and get people to start doing the law, statutes, commandments of God with the testimony of Jesus Christ. And keep on doing that. Not do that for about a couple of months. Not change their diet for a year and then go back to eating.
Right.
No. Keep on doing it. That's what you're supposed to be doing. That is the reason he said, I came to you. It wasn't even in you. I chose you to do this. So you got to understand that. If you know these things, you better understand that God means you mean something to God. Somebody said, I don't even know if I'm with God. Okay, if you're doing this, if you got true understanding, you with God, okay? Know it. Know that, because most people don't get true understanding. If you got true understanding, God with you. Quit tripping. Quit thinking I need to speak in tongues. Quit thinking I need to go light some candles. Quit thinking I need to pray all day. All kind of quit. Take fast. Take a whole gigantic fast and fast for 40 days. No, you don't need none of that. God already with you. Most people don't got true understanding. It's people that have been preaching for 30, 40 years don't know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So you already got that. And he said he chose you to do that. It wasn't him saying, it ain't you, it's him. You with him already. Quit thinking, I don't know if I'm with him. Okay, you got to understand, you are with God. He already close to you already. Because he got you, he dealing with you just like he dealt with Pharaoh. Okay, I'm coming to get you. You finna do this, I'm saying, so you can serve me. So you doing that. So quit thinking, what else do I got to do? No, you already do it. Learn how to do it better. Understand your calling. So we got to understand that. This ain't nothing you want to do. You think you wanted to do this. But no, there's something he wants you to do. Let's show you somebody else that everybody that do this, guess what? It's not of them, it's of God. Let's go into Acts chapter 9 and 10. Let's show you. We're going to show you one of the prophets that will show you a whole bunch of books and show you, hey, this ain't in you. This is something God chose you to do. But let's get this, Brother Isaiah. Acts chapter 9 and 15. Acts 9 and 15.
Amen. The book of Acts chapter 9, verse 15. Verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him.
So this is Ananias. So this is Christ dealing with Ananias, telling him to go get Paul. And he said, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. So you're saying, he said, guess who picked Paul? To bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. He told them to work. There go the work he's supposed to do. He said, but I chose him. Let's deal with these epistles of Paul, and see what a lot of them say. And let's see if this is what Paul wanted to do. Let's go to Romans chapter 1 and 1, Brother Isaiah. Romans 1 and 1. Let's see if this, like we said, it tell you, we just got to read in St. John that chapter 15 said, we didn't choose, he said he chose us, we didn't choose him. Let's get this in Romans 1 and 1.
The book of Romans 1 and 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised.
Paul is a what?
A servant of Jesus Christ.
Servant of Jesus Christ and called to be an apostle. People, separate means sanctification, separated unto the gospel. Well, he was separated from the world to do what? Gospel of God.
The gospel of God.
And is Paul separated from our forefathers in with Moses? No, because look what it said. Paul, a servant. Didn't he tell you he wanted us to get out of the way from Pharaoh because he wanted us to serve him? See, do being Paul is a servant, do that sound like he got freedom? He got freedom. He said he's free from all men. Paul would tell you, I'm free from all men, but he ain't free from God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Paul said, I'm free from all men, but he ain't free from God. Because God called him into this. So Paul ain't got no free will. This ain't nothing Paul wanted to do, people. Paul was tripping over people for talking about Jesus Christ. Now he had to go all over Europe teaching Gentiles. Y'all think that was Paul's dream in his life? Y'all think that's what
Mm-mm.
Paul wanted to do?
Mm-mm. No, sir.
No. No. This is not Paul's dream. But let's show you some more of that. Brother Isaiah, let's go, march on to the next book. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1 and 1. The book of 1 Corinthians 1 and 1. Let's see, did Paul, I always wanted to be apostle of Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 and 1.
Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and sustenance,
our brother. Paul, he's called to be apostle So Jesus Christ through who? Through the what?
Through the will of God.
Through the will of God. No, no. You know what? I always wanted to be an apostle for Christ. I've been wanting to do this. Anybody doing this, you know you lying. I know I did. I know this ain't what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a semi-pro basketball player, so I tried out for semi-pro basketball. And I had a chance to, I had a chance to go overseas. But guess what happened the same time that happened? 9/11, and then I walked out through the doors at Israelite Church of God in Jesus Christ, and there was no more trying out for basketball, and there was no thought of going overseas anymore. For the last 18 years, I've been doing this. I used to be a Christian, and as me a Christian, I just wanted to sit in my seat and just listen. When I went to the Israelite Church of God in Jesus Christ, my teacher told me and all the other men, we are priests in training. You're going to be a part of work, people. Me teaching and being in the pulpit, all that was not my dream. It is not far as my spirituality as a Christian. That is not what it was. I wanted to be the nice, just like I'm now. I want to be the nice-looking 50-year-old man with my suit on and my hat sitting in the congregation saying, amen, preach on, brother. That was the length of what I'm supposed to do at church. I ain't supposed to be reading. I mean, I ain't supposed to be no teacher. I ain't supposed to be preaching. I ain't supposed to be studying. I ain't supposed to make no damn lessons. That ain't my dream. That wasn't my dream. Not even with God. But guess what, people? My dream of being a good-looking, middle-aged gentleman at church is gone. I actually got to do TV shows and all these kind of things because that's what God wants. This ain't nothing I chose for myself. I never would have wanted to do this. This is not on my agenda. Hell, I said I wasn't even going to go to, I speak real crazy people. I used to say, you know what, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. When I get like 60-year-olds, when I'm about 60, I said I'm going to start doing God after I get all my stuff out first. Well, people, I've been an Israelite since I was 32, and now I'm 50 years old, okay, for the last almost 20 years, but 18 years I've been with God. So he got me 22 years, I'm saying he got me 22 years earlier than what I was supposed to have been landing on the mark, okay? So, like I'm saying, I understand this. I understand this, it ain't about what you want. Because people, most of us would be just like Jonah, we would run. If God would tell us in the beginning what you're going to end up doing, most of us be like Jonah, run. So he wait and reveal it to you. I'm saying if you're truly doing this, you know this ain't what you wanted to do. This ain't what you wanted to do. But guess what? You ain't your choice. I understand it clearly now. Now, who am I choice? This is God's choice. Always been his choice. This has always been in the cards. So guess what? I just gotta man up and do it. He don't care if I like it or don't like it. He said, this is what it is. I chose you. You're going to do this, just like he did with Paul. Well, let's continue. Let's go to Brother Isaac. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1:1.
Amen.
Let's keep showing you this calling on Paul that it wasn't from Paul. But now we're going to show you something else.
The book of 2 Corinthians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church
of
God.
Stop. He said that Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. That's Timothy in the book. Guess what? Guess what happened? Timothy started hanging with Paul. Guess what he got sucked up in, y'all?
The truth.
He be better. I'm saying he got sucked up into the work. You better watch it being around Israelites, people.
Mm-hmm.
Side effect is, guess what? You're gonna probably get sucked up into it too. Because guess what? If you hung with Paul, what was Paul gonna be doing, people? He's gonna be doing the work. So if you hang out with Paul, you're going to get sucked up into it too. But this Paul is what? An apostle of Jesus, by the, again, is saying, by the will of God, not his own free will, by the will of God. He doing this. So people, understand you doing these things, it ain't in you. It's not in you to do it. It's something else. I know it got to be something else. Because when I was Christian, I would go to sleep reading the Bible. I'm saying, now that I'm an Israelite, for example, the Bible ain't boring. I learn something all the time. Every day I open it, every day I learn something. Every day I listen to another brother teach, every time I learn something. There's always something new. There's something I keep discovering. He keep teaching me more and more about life, about himself, about myself, about other people. Just so much that I can't get bored. It's just so, things are so deep. I just try to figure them out all day. Sometimes most nights I don't get to sleep until the sun darn near coming up because I'm trying to figure God out.
Amen.
But when I was a Christian, that was not it. Okay, that wasn't my interest in God was not that. But I know it was always in the car, just like him. When he turned you on, it's a whole different thing. So just saying, them saying you got to watch when you're hanging out with Brother Isaiah. Brother Isaiah, next thing you know, you're gonna probably be reading or something. You keep hanging around Brother Isaiah. That's a side effect. He part of the work. He do artwork for God. He in Bible studies. I'm saying he'll be your reader. You know what I'm saying? So a side effect, you can't hang with Job. You won't, okay, side effect, you're going to be part of work. You hang. You're saying you can't hang with me. You can't hang with them. Because if these brothers is really doing this, guess what? You're going to be doing it too. I'm pretty sure if I hang with Isaiah, I don't think we're going to end up at the strip club. Okay? I don't think we're going to be there. See, I'm saying we ain't going to be like some Christians. They'll go to the strip club and say, we're going to go save some people at the strip club. No, that ain't what we're here to do, dog. I used to be in leadership at Christian Church, and they was like, we're going to go to the club and talk to people. No, the club is not where you try to turn into John the Baptist, okay? No. The people there is not there for that. So the side effect of being around people that do this, if they really do this, you're going to be there. That's why this is such a lonely thing, because if you're truly doing this, other people ain't going to really want to be around you, and that's including your family. You'll learn this after a while. That, guess what? They ain't trying to be around you. They, I'm saying, if you're truly about this, they're like, nah, man, he's weird. He always talking about God and this and that. And did you see this in the Bible? You got to understand. No, that's all right. He's my cousin, but, you know, we don't hang out with him. So you got to understand that. God chose you for this. That's what I'm saying. If you're truly doing this, this is who you are. This ain't no part-time thing. Saying if you're a brother or sister, you can't be, I'm saying, you can't be no sister. I'm an Israelite, but I only act like an Israelite and put on a dress and cover my head every once in a while. I'll do it on the Sabbath, but I won't do it the rest of the week. You can't be no brother saying, I just do this on the Sabbath. All the rest of the week, I'm something else. I ain't telling you go to work and be John the Baptist, but people should know that you're different. They should tell by your character and the way you do things and the way you talk and things like that, that, you know what, there's a little something different. I'm saying I've done it myself. I never had to make no damn public announcement that I was an Israelite when I used to go to work.
Because I'm
retired now, people. But when I was working, I was an Israelite. I didn't have to make no public announcement. People just observed me and just knew I was different. So if you're really doing this and you're around the people that's doing this, you're going to do it too. Well, let's go into the book of Philippians 1:1, realize it. Let's move on. Philippians 1:1.
Amen. The book of Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all
stop,
the saints.
Stop. Timothy didn't get deep in the work now, ain't he? Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. You see, I realize that you see that side effect of being around the saints?
Mm-hmm. Looking like Timothy hopping up the food chain.
Yeah, that's right. He won now, ain't he? They didn't turn into the dynamic duel. Righteous Batman and Robin. Paul and Timotheus, servants of Jesus Christ. See, Timmy, he was hanging around Paul a little bit too long. He got put into work. He became a servant too. See, he ain't free either. He became a servant, just like we was in Exodus chapter 4 when Christ told Moses to go deal with Pharaoh. He said, I didn't want them to serve me. And guess where Paul and Timothy is? I think they were just sitting around at the crib, kicking it, playing cars and playing dominoes. He probably did that too. But they was dumb bears about this work. I ain't saying they never do nothing else. They was around each other, so I'm pretty sure they kicked it and did things. But guess what? The reason they was around each other and the reason they was together was mostly for the work of God. They were saying, he said, they the servants of Jesus Christ. But let's continue. Let's go into Colossians 1:1.
Colossians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother.
See that? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. See that? And all this is by the will. You ain't free. Paul ain't free. It's by the will of God. Timotheus hung around. He ain't free either. Timotheus ain't free no more either. You can call him Timotheus. He ain't free no more either. He a servant by the will of God too now. He was hanging around Paul a little bit too much. He got called up. But people, let's go into the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 1:1.
The book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope.
Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ by what? The commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Y'all see that? It was a commandment of God for Paul to be an apostle. You see that? So you tell me this is a commandment of God on his life that he gonna do this. People, you might not believe it. It's a commandment on your life too if you're doing this. That's why I'm saying you better not run from this. You done made this vow. You better keep on doing this. Because they tell you in the scriptures, and I'm saying if you turn from this, it'd be better if you had never even known it.
Mm-hmm.
So once you in, you better understand you in. Ain't no trying to get out. This ain't like you done got in a bad relationship. I'm in a bad relationship. I'm trying to find my way up out of this. Ain't none of that.
Mm-hmm.
You better be trying to figure out a way to stay in it. You know, you better be like how even relationships be. Even in bad relationships, if they would do it, they even know God. They'd be like, it's cheaper to keep her. Yeah. They'll find a reason to try to save you. Once you're in. So it's by the commandment of God that Paul was doing this. That's the same thing with us. So it ain't your choice. When Paul's choice, Paul didn't have nothing. Poor Paul didn't have nothing to do with this. Like I said, this was not Paul's dream. You know, teach the Gentiles all over. I'm saying people, he was out there getting beat up and shipwrecked and locked up and everything for this. Like I'm saying, he didn't even want to deal with his own people with Jesus at first. He didn't even want to do that. So y'all got to know, this is not nothing that he want to do. But you got to understand, if you're dealing with God, we finna show you, even when you move up the food chain, anybody that understand God is about God, it ain't about you. So let's go, Brother Isaiah, let's go into the book of Luke 22 and 41. Luke 22 and 41.
Luke 22 or 41. 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done.
Stop. See that? See, this is when you know you're a true servant of God, because this is Jesus. God put something on his table to do it. He said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. See, when you're under God, ain't about your will anymore. Jesus knew that. He knew that. So we got to understand, if you truly doing this, it ain't about your own will. It's about the will of God. Let's show you that most of us, we do this every day and don't even really realize it, that we're going against our own will. Let's go to Matthew's, Brother Isaiah, Matthew chapter 6 and 9. Matthew chapter 6 and 9.
Amen. The book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Stop. Okay, you see that? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is heaven. See, not what we want. So when you do the Lord's Prayer, you praying for the will of God to be done, not what you want. You want his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, not your own. See, if you're doing this correct way and you start learning, your thoughts become his thoughts. I want things done his way, not my way. But guess what? He chose you for that. Like we learned, he been and chose you that for that anyway. It wasn't you that wanted this. This is what he wanted anyway. So guess what? After you start doing it, you start getting the spiritual antennas like Jesus had up, and you see the real apostles were, oh, this ain't about me. This is about what he wants. And in order for, I tell people, if you in this for blessings and what God gonna do for you and all this stuff, you might as well tap out now, because that ain't what this about. This thing is about the will of God. If you're not interested in the will of God, if you're not praying, if you're not truly praying for this for real, you just think this is just something to say, this is just some cool prayer that most people know and they just learned it, and you're not paying attention to the words, you still want your will to be done, then it's not going to work out for you. You better understand, to be with God and to deal with God, you got to be about him. not about you. It's about him. But Jesus understood that. Everything is about what he wants. This is his plan. In order for this plan to work and for you to be a part of it, you must, like I'm saying, you must turn and say, you know what? What he wants is what I want. If that's not it, then this ain't gonna work out for you. This ain't gonna work for you. You keep trying to do for, I'm saying, this thing ain't gonna work out for you. So let's go on to Matthew's, because we're gonna show you that these things have already been thought of. This plan has always been. Let's go on to Matthew 25 and 31. Matthew chapter 25 and 31.
The book of Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.
Stop. Okay, the ones on his right hand, he said, how long was this kingdom prepared for you?
From the foundation.
Amen. So, like I said, he said, so all these things were predestined. See, that's what I'm saying. A lot of people don't, some Israelites don't want to deal with that. But he's telling, this was predestined for you. During the whole, my plan, you always been a part of, I'm saying, you always been a part of my plan. When I thought about this whole situation, you was a part of this. So what make you think you got any will or you got any control in this at all once you start really thinking about it? What make you think you got any power in this at all? We just went through a whole bunch of things showing you that even one of the greatest apostles of all time, Paul, that this was a calling on his life. This is nothing he chose to do. It wasn't his will. Like I'm saying, most of us, if we truly that's doing this, we would say, this is not my dream. This is not what I wanted. But guess what? I'm in it now. Like I'm saying, for me, it's been 18 years of my life. And it's gonna be my life until Jesus comes back or I die. There is nothing else for me to do. This is my life. So we got to understand that. I don't know about you, but I ain't got nowhere else to run. This is it. I might as well do right and keep doing it because I ain't got nothing else to run to. So we got to understand that. This is a predestined thing. He said, prepare for this. This was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. There's always, you got to understand, if you're doing this, this was always meant for you. So let's show you that God got this power. If you're supposed to be doing this, you're going to be doing this. Let's go to Romans chapter 9 and 11. Romans 9 and 11.
The book of Romans, chapter 9, verse 11. Verse 11. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth.
Stop. So he's telling you, he said, for the children not being born, neither have done any good or evil. He said, they ain't done nothing. That the purpose of God according to the election might stand. So he said, who he chose, the election, he said, not of works, but of him that calleth. So he said, who he calleth. He said, it don't matter what you try to do. If I ain't call you, I ain't call you. But read on.
Hey, man, that was a good one. Verse 12. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid.
So look, he said before Jacob and Esau did anything, he said Jacob he loved and he hated Esau. And he said, but then we came, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness? God said, can we say God, is this messed up, the God that hated him before he did anything? Well, read on.
For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy.
Stop. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
See, people, okay, you better understand who in control of this situation.
Mm-hmm.
You say, ain't about who willeth. He said, it ain't about nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. So, like I said, you might want to do this, but if it ain't in the cards, it ain't in the cards, people. You better know that you got true understanding and you're a part of this. You're supposed to be a part of this. Not of your own will. Because he showed you with Jacob and Esau that he had made his decision. I'm saying people say, well, Esau did this. No, he didn't. He didn't do nothing. And just because God, that's who God's plan. He said he had mercy on you, he had mercy, he had compassion on you, compassion. Hopefully it's, yeah, I'm saying if you want to hear or want to be a part, hopefully he chose, he got having compassion and mercy on me. I better hope he ain't trying to use me the same way he used Pharaoh. But let's show you this predestination. Let's get more into that. Let's go into Brother Isaac. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1. Go to Jeremiah chapter 1 and 4.
The book of Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations.
Stop that. You hear that? He said, before I formed, he's talking about the prophet Jeremiah. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest out of the womb, I sanctified. He said, he was sanctified. He was separated and sanctified before he came out and ordained thee a prophet unto thee. He was all of that before he was even born. So, guess what? Jeremiah said, man, I'm going to be a drug dealer, man. That's what I'm going to do. No. Jeremiah, God said, before you was even born, I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So you got to understand, a lot of us that's in this, the calling been on your life before you was even born. But let's show you another prophet that's like that. Let's go to Luke chapter 1 and 76. So ain't no choice. You know what I'm saying? That's why I said no free will for the righteous. Some of the righteous, you've been called before you even got here. So how you think you got some free will and stuff like that? No. If you truly one of his, this calling probably been a long, 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 long time ago. For you, before your parents even was thinking about you, it's probably all when he was in the car. But read on. Let's get this. Chapter 1 and 76.
76. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Though the tender mercy of our God
whereby the day spring from on high had visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet unto the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel.
So you see that he said, and thou shalt be called a prophet of the highest, and thou shalt go before thy face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge for salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. So John the Baptist was called. This is the angel dealing with him, dealing with his parents before he even got here, telling you about John the Baptist. So we got to understand that. Some of us, this calling has come way before you even were born. John the Baptist wasn't going to do nothing else. He was going to be a part of this work. It was calling on his life. So we got to understand that. If you truly wanted, I'm saying there is no free will. If you truly wanted the righteous, you have this calling of your life, and this is what you're going to do because it was always meant for you to do it. But let's show you, if you want to hear, that you don't just get what to do, and he might have to come after you and come and get you. Well, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 20 and 32. Ezekiel 20 and 32.
The book of Ezekiel 20 and 32. 32. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all, that ye say.
Stop. You see that? And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all, that ye say. So he tell you, what you thinking about and what you saying ain't going to happen. Read on.
And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all, that ye say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries to serve wood and stone. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out, will I rule over you.
Did you hear what he said? He said, we want to be like the heathen and the families of the countries to serve wood and stone. But he said, nuh-uh, not if you want a mind. He said, as I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with fear poured out, will I rule over you. Okay, dude, that sound like free will, people?
No, sir.
Don't sound like free will to me. See, it don't sound like free will to me. So he said, he's telling you, if you truly want his, he said, I'm coming to get you. And he said, and he's telling you, with fury poured out and stretched out, okay, that means he said, even if I got to do something to you. I'm saying, I had some verses from Jonah, but I don't want the lesson to go that long. So we ain't going to go through all of that. But I'm pretty sure most of us know Jonah tried to run, and God had come and get him. God had to come and get him and turn him and do what he needed to do. So we got to understand that. He's telling you, if you want his, even if I got to do something to you, I'm coming to get you. And he said, he's saying, and I'm going to rule over you. So you tell me how free that is. So he said, I'm going to put you under me, and you're going to do, say, you want to be like the nations. He said, that ain't happening. You can forget that. So, Brother Isaiah, do you have your apocrypha? We're going to go to Baruch 4 and 27. Because he finna tell us, sometimes we want to jump to the left, but he said, I got the cure for that too. That's cure for that too. Every once in a while we want to jump to the left, but he's telling you, I got something for that too. But let's get this Baruch chapter 4, verse 27.
Baruch 4, 27. Be of good comfort, O my children, and cry unto God, for ye shall be remembered of him that brought these things upon you.
Stop. So he said, be encouraged, for ye shall be remembered of him that brought these things upon you. So he said, okay, God, it did something to you. Read on.
28. For as it was your mind to go astray from God, So being
stop,
returned.
Stop. Oh, did you already say about it sometime? For as it was your mind to go, astray from God. So guess what? He said, okay, guess what? There was time you think you want to go to the left. You don't want to be astray from God, but read on.
So being returned, seek him 10 times more.
See, he said you can come back. He said seek him 10 times more. But see, he had to do something to you to get you there. But read on.
29. For he that have brought these plagues upon you shall bring you everlasting
joy. See, he said he brought plagues upon you to make you turn right. See that? He said, for he that have brought these plagues upon you, read on.
For he that have brought these plagues upon you shall bring you everlasting joy into your salvation.
So he said, see, I'm bringing you everlasting joy again. Which will say, so you ain't lost that, but he tell you what? He tell you in verse 28, he said, but you got to seek him 10 times more. He said, now your walk got to be way, way, way better. Ain't no plan. But he said, but he going to bring you everlasting joy in your salvation again. It ain't lost, even though your mind, even though you went astray for a second, even though you thought about going to the left, maybe you went to the left for a minute. But read on.
Take a good heart, O Jerusalem, for he that gave thee that name will comfort thee.
So he said, I'm going to comfort you. He said, you went to the left. I had to whoop you up. You had to seek me 10 times more. You had to get way more serious with your walk. But he said, but I'm going to comfort thee. You're going to get your joy and salvation, and I'm going to comfort you. But like I'm saying, people, he said it's his will. But he's going to have to whoop you up. So you might, he said, yeah, every once in a while you might decide to do something outside of me. But if you truly want to mind, he said, I'm going to do stuff to you to make you come back home. And he's saying, you ain't lost either. You're just going to have to be way more serious about your walk. That's all. Because your mind, sometimes your mind goes astray from me. Sometimes you get enticed by these things of the world. But don't worry about that. He said, I always got a nice butt-whooping cure to bring you back home. Just ask Jonah. He said, I got the cure to bring you back home. That whooping I'm going to give you going to bring you back to your senses. And then if you're truly doing this, it's only so far to the left you can go anyway. Like I said, it seemed that since I got baptized, God get me quicker. I was an Israelite for 9 years before I got baptized. So the first 9 years, I could step to the left a little bit. Once I got baptized, it seemed like as soon as I stepped my foot to the left, he gave me, and I got to step right back to the right. Saying that under my baptism has been harder. He really have that back. He having that belt. Seem like he already got it in his hand. He's ready.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As soon as I step out over the line. So I don't get to be too crazy out here under my baptism. I don't know what it is, but the whooping got harder when he was getting me when I was just the Israelite the first 9 years. But when I got in that water dog on it, he don't play with me. Ain't too much stepping to the left. Said, you ain't going to ruin my reputation. So you got to remember, he do everything for his own sake. For something, he said, oh, you ain't going to ruin my reputation in Israel. Don't even think about it. You're going to be known for doing this. You is not going to be known for doing nothing else. So we got to understand that. So he tell you, your mind might go astray sometime. But guess what? I'm going to do something to you. I'm bringing you back. You gotta seek me 10 times more, and I'm gonna bring you. Say your salvation ain't lost. Your salvation ain't lost. Your joy, your salvation is not lost. People, never get that into your mind that you ever lost. Just like saying, gotta keep enduring to the end. But we got like 3 more scriptures, people. Like I said, we ain't gonna be too long with this, brother Isaiah. Let's go to. I'm saying, let's show you what I'm saying, our free will. What is our free will? What is he freed us to do? Let's get into some of that. And let's get in Matthew chapter 24 and 13. Matthew 24 and 13.
The book of Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come.
See that? He said, and this gospel, said we're supposed to endure to the end, keep going to the end. And he said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. So he giving us a job to do, to preach in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Brother, let's go to Acts chapter 1 and 6. Acts 1 and 6.
When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be a witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth.
See that? He said, so he's telling us, he said, we asking this, we're going to restore a kingdom now. He said, I don't even know, only Father know that. And he said, it is not for you to know the times, the seasons which the Father have put in his power. He said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. So he said, we his witnesses. This is part of our job. We witness. He said, witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. So he's telling you, your job is to do this work. Like I said, he said, we his servants, our servants. This is the instructions that Christ has given us before he leaves, before he comes back again. Last place, Brother Isaiah. And saying, and this is what I'm saying, we have no free will, but we're free to do this, and we kind of got a little bit of this early, but we're going to put more emphasis on this at the end. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5 and 14. Matthew's 5 and 14.
Amen. Matthew's 5 and 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on an high hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, but put it under a bushel. Put on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen.
See that? Did we not read earlier that we're supposed to glorify our Father in our body and our spirit? But see, this is the work we do. It said, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works. That's what I'm saying. Can't be out here acting crazy. For the gospel's sake. I tell people all the time, I say, if you can't do it for yourself, do it for the gospel's sake. If you can't act right for yourself, do it for the gospel's sake. I even do that to myself. Keep my reputation clean for the gospel's sake. He said, you may see your good works and glorify your Father, your Father, which is it. So you're supposed to be doing this so other people can start glorifying the Father. You're supposed to do these good works and glorify your Father that you bring, like I said, that he said that we are ordained to bring in fruit that they would. Going to do the same thing. They're going to turn to do the right things. They're going to turn to obey God and with the testimony of the Word of God and testimony of Jesus Christ, and they're going to correctly glorify the Father, the Son, the same way that you were taught to do it through the Word and through the testimony of Jesus Christ. So with that, people, I hope you got some understanding in Jesus' name, and I thank you for your time, and I'm going to hand things off, if they're on, to Brother Job and Sister Rhea. Thank you for your time.
Ooh, amen.
Shalom.
Shalom, Israelite. Hey, great precept.
Shalom,
great precept. Man, what do you do? You know, when you're trying to run from your call and you get one of them Jonas whooping, you know, who wants that? You call from the foundation of the world. like you said, man, you was called before your mother and me. They were babies and you was called to come through them. They wasn't even born yet and you was already called to come through them.
Amen.
If you listening to this message right now, you've been called.
Amen.
You wouldn't be listening to this if you wasn't called. It's not a fluke that you're listening to this and you are not called. Because the Lord tell you that a fool will not err therein. You're not going to stumble in the wilderness. You're not going to stumble in on the good. You're going to be led into them. The Spirit is going to move you to them. It ain't going to be like, oh, what's on TV? No, you're going to have to pick up and you're going to click and you say, what's going on here? And the Spirit has moved you so that you can hear that there's a call on your life not 20 years from now. Mm. When you done did everything you possibly could and now you want to walk around with a whole bunch of what you call them Jolly Ranchers that some people call Viagras, pocket full of candy trying to catch little kids.
What?
You passed your time. Now you want to serve God because you're all useless.
What?
Book tell you in Ecclesiastes, don't wait till you old to call on God.
That's right, amen.
Don't wait till you get old. When you hear, you say, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. That's your, today is your day.
Amen.
Thank you for the reminder, Israelite. Thank you for reminding that today is the, I remember that day. And I remember this day. Thank you for this, man. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, brother. Any more testimonies, comments?
Great, hey, bro. Great piece, man. Great piece, man. You know, that was very necessary, man. And definitely, man, you hit so many points on that thing, man. You know what I'm saying? And definitely, man, when the Lord calls you to do something, man, oh, my God. Don't try to run. Because it ain't going to go well for you. You know what I'm saying? It ain't going to go well for you at all. But, man, all together, bro, this was a really good precept, man. You know, definitely just understanding our calling, man, the things that the Most High want us to do. You know, and definitely, man, there's so much stuff. Hold on a second. I got to blow my nose. My whole face is running. But, yeah, man, I feel the precept. I feel it big time. Hold on one second, because I had some stuff written down that I wanted to go ahead and I really want to pull out.
Okay.
Okay, here we go right here. You know, like, for example, no free will for the righteous. You know, because I know I really like how you brought that to the table. You know what I'm saying? Because I know, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to serve the Most High God to the best of my ability. You know? So even if I want to go left is a tenth of a second before I'm scared to death when the Lord slap me up around. You know what I'm saying? And definitely when the Lord call you for greater things, even if you want to do it and try to do it, it never come to pass. You know what I'm saying? It hardly ever, ever come to pass. But then the Lord tear your back off it just for trying it anyway. You know? So, you know, that is a blessing and a great thing, man, and definitely being able to have a chance and opportunity to serve God because, to be honest, we really just can't do what we want to do anyway. And to be honest, how the Lord got it set up, it's too much thinking about, it's too hard to sin anyway. You know, because if you won't sin, you got to think of a plan. Now you feel guilty because you know he know your heart. You know what I'm saying? You got to think about how I'm going to pray myself out of this once I do it. And then you come down to the most common denominator, you end up not doing it because the sin is just too bad. You know, I can't stick my foot all the way to the left. You know, but I already got the thoughts in my head. Lord, forgive me for that. Let me just try to stay on that spot. But the Lord really makes sure, man, definitely since he's bearing his name, he do not allow us to go too far to the left. Now, you know, I thank God for him allowing you to show us that in his precept. It was very great and very necessary. And All praise to the Father, bro. I get a mic with that, man. Great job.
Thank you for reading, bro. We went through a lot. Great job reading today. Sound great, great job.
Amen. Father's mercy.
Amen. Any more comments, testimonies, any words? If not, any announcements?
Well, excuse me. I just want to say this one more again. It's a great precept and something you brought up in my heart that came to me while you was doing that. And it came back again, and I just want to read this. It's in 1 John chapter 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin because he is born of God. You can't do it. See, that's what your brother Isaiah just got through saying, and I'm reading it while he's saying it. You brought that back to my spirit. He's sitting up here giving you a straight testimony, and here go the word of God agreeing. You cannot sin once you're born of God. Man, once you come out that water, like Nakomi said, once you came up out the water, ain't no left or right to him. Ain't none of that. You can't go too far to the left or to the right. You don't have that no more. You're on a bridge with no rail. And it's narrow. And it's only as strong as you make it, or as weak as you make it. But it's narrow, and it don't have no rails. You got to be careful. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin. You don't go out and sin against God. You can't do it. You cannot go. It's like going out to commit murder. You got to plan it out. Like Isaiah said, you got to go and do it. But his seed remaineth in him. That's that thing that he was testifying in Genesis. He said his seed is going to be enmity against his seed. Her seed is going to be enmity against her seed. You see?
Amen.
What seed is that? This right here. You've been born of God. You're the one that he called. He called you out the water. He called you from the water. Seriously. To bring you here. And he said, whosoever doeth not righteousness is, forgive me, that's verse 10. It says, for seed remaineth in him, he cannot sin because he is born of God. Once you see the Father, it's impossible to go into that kind of wicked. That's that willful and that presumptuous thing. Get right back to that again. You know, literally, it's not a sacrifice, but there's a payment. Yeah. So, once again, it's like great, 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 great precept for this evening, man. Giving everybody, you know, something to think about, reflect on. Tomorrow evening, we got the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study class with our brother Isaiah Brown. You heard him tonight reading for your brother, Tommy Swanson. Brother Isaiah, what's the precept for tomorrow evening?
Oh, wait, let me see. Let's see what we got here. Let's see what we got here. Give me 1 second. Ooh, wait. Which one? Okay, we're going to try this one out. The name of the precept of Lord's Will Tomorrow is called The Wicked Despise the Righteous, so as the so-called, well, excuse me, The Wicked Despise the Righteous. Also, well, how I got this? Okay, here we go. The wicked despise the righteous, the worldly, and the Israelite. One more time. The wicked despise the righteous, the worldly, and the Israelite. So we deal it.
Yeah, so we're dealing with the ones who crept in unawares, and we also talk about the ones we got to deal with in the world, and how to gird ourselves up and be ready, because they coming. Ooh, we they coming.
But they covered in the same spirit.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Big time. Big fact.
Can we?
Amen.
It's all good. We're talking about keeping your thoughts right, but it makes you want to uppercut somebody.
People misinterpret that scripture when he said, "Don't be quick to lay hands on people." That's exactly what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, actually throwing somebody. That's what he means, because that's exactly what Nehemiah said. He said, come back around. Sabbath day again, we're going to put our hands on him. And he wasn't talking about praying. So, yeah, we got to say, don't be quick to do that. Because Israel is quick.
Mm-hmm.
So don't think my God is an Israelite.
Well, could you imagine fighting Mike Tyson? I hope you're running, because I'm running.
Bro, an army with Evanders and Mike Tysons and Riddicks. Are you kidding me? Fighting for King David?
Woo!
Shaq, Bronze, I'm telling you, they were all there. Just a different name.
Yeah. Scary stuff, man.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson, me one time, man. I'll be waking up in a resurrection. We still on me. We were knocked out for a long time.
Hit like a mule. That guy, he woke up and said, man, you should not retire. You still hit like a mule. He said it right there in the ring.
Mm.
And we have an army of dudes.
Yeah. Big time. And you know what, too? I'm going to change that name. I'm going to change the name of that priest up a little bit, too. Make it a little bit shorter. I hear the mic.
Don't you come up with it?
Oh no, I give it to you in the thing.
Okay.
I'm still working with it.
So the precept tomorrow is about watching out for the tears inside of the feet.
For the inner church and the worldly people, because you know, there's one thing the Lord is showing me is that you have people who push those buttons supposedly being in the truth. But you also got to worry about the ones outside the truth, too. You know, it's like being a servant of God. You know, even though the Lord called us to do great things, we still have a lot of patience and have to use a lot of strength and common sense to stay girded up in the spirit dealing with these type of people, because they make you want to latch out on them. But basically just being able to identify the spirit that's on these people, so we know how to interact with that type of behavior, you know. So it's a lot of things I want to go through with that priest up, Lord willing, tomorrow.
Sounds good. Can't wait to hear it.
Oh, me too, bro. So I need to hear this, boy. I'm trying to flip those tables over. So, yeah, I'm ready to hear it.
Oh, praise. Well, you heard it here, brothers and sisters. It's your brother Isaiah Brown. He's going to be bringing those precepts tomorrow evening. That you catch me every Thursday night, I can say that, at 7 o'clock p.m. here at the Sound of Living Waters. That is to say, the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study Class, your brother here, Isaiah Brown. So, Brother Nakomi, man, we don't have any hands up. You know, any closing comments?
Just that we understand that this calling on your life is directly from God, and it's about Him. You got to understand you're not free. I'm saying you should be keeping, like I'm saying, we are His intel. We are the ambassadors of Christ. I'm saying I got to keep myself clean. I said if I can't do it for myself, I got to do it for the gospel. You got to do it for the gospel's sake. I got to do it for Jesus and God's reputation to keep myself straight, because guess what? He chose me to do this thing. So we got to understand that it's all about Him. He called us into this. We don't have no free will. Your will is to do His will. And we got to understand that He called you into this thing, and at all times that you're supposed to be having a good reputation, because your reputation is supposed to be representing God in Christ. So with that, people, I hope you understand that your body, like we learned, that your body is not your own, but it belongs to God. And we're supposed to be glorifying God in our body and our spirit. With that, I yield the mic.
Amen.
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 And great job reading, brother.
I'll pray.
So, well, Dr. Brother Nakomi, a.k.a. Little Israel, a.k.a. Nehemiah Israel, Nakomi Swanson of the Nation of Peace, Israelites out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, bringing what?
That kingdom state of mind.
State of mind.
That kingdom state of mind. So, with that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time, and we hope we edify someone. As we say here, at the Sounds of Living Waters, do what? Read your Bibles, people, and you'll have a mind like Nakomi, a kingdom state of mind.
Amen.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.